Hey Barry, I know this show might not be new anymore, but is Greg new?
Greg is new. Welcome, Greg.
I'm old. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You look new right out of the box.
You look pretty new, yeah.
Thanks.
So we got to get into the slides, I guess, but if you want to stick around, thanks, Greg, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So what are we going to talk about today? Crystal, what are you talking about?
I want to talk about the discussion around 400 errors, about around 410s and 404s and all of that.
Morty, what are you going to talk about?
Paywall content and whether or not search traffic to the Washington Post is down over the last 2 years tremendously.
Okay. I'm going to talk about side commands because there's nothing better. And Finn, what are you going to talk about?
Well, people also consider labels showing up next to Google Ads and some merchant center updates that you need to know, especially if you're using AI. All right, so from Search Engine Roundtable, Barry covered Anthony Higman, who finds everything in the search engine results pages, ads based. And for an ad for his own company, a green button showed up underneath the title about people also consider. When he clicked on it, it didn't really go anywhere. But I am not sure what people are supposed to be also considering with an ad that you're paying for. The only thing I want people to consider is clicking through. Because I am spending money and I want people to get there. Like the absolute last thing that we want to see is people considering other, competitors or something. This is like eerily similar to a very bad April Fool's joke last week.
That was a great April Fool's joke that real to this day is confusing people, which probably should be deleted, but I'm not going to go into that. But there was just a week ago, there was also another label added saying related to your search. Like this ad is related to your search. I'm like, I hope it's related to your search. What should it be related to?
That's the point of ads. Like that's what we hear that the being touted is, even if it's not keyword based, it's interest based, it's performance max, it knows you, knows when to serve the ad. Putting that label in there, and somebody had to program this, right? Like it's not like it just appears. So this is pretty concerning, but it didn't go anywhere, so kind of just see what happens. But this is a horrific event.
Almost as bad as a label that says, "Are you sure you want to click here?"
But
I
basically the
mean,
same thing.
you've seen some of this on Twitter. I've seen on some of the Twitter ads where people have said like this product isn't actually accurate or something to that effect. So I wonder if that's one of the reasons why they brought it in, that to sort of curtail that. But you'd think that their ad qualification process would do that beforehand, before they even serve the ad.
Yeah, I just don't know what you the whole goal is for to consider the person to click on the ad so Google makes the money. That I just doesn't make sense. I do love when ads get community noted on Twitter. It's like a low-key passion of mine is finding those out and looking at them.
Cool. What about Merchant Center?
Yeah, so there are a few things that A could be really helpful. There's a new loyalty program attribute. So if you have loyalty programs, you can put that pricing in there, which is really nice. There's also a free shipping threshold. So if free shipping goes up to a certain part, that's pretty nice. You can put that in there. But the biggest news from there was really on the AI generated content. You now have to start labeling that. So it is for AI generated images, which makes sense to me, right? If it's a fake image, you should probably know that. And then it's also around product data. So your title, description, any kind of content needs to be either like trained algorithmic media. It has to be labeled that it's AI. And I think some of it makes sense. Like, I don't know if you really should. If it's 150 characters in a title, like AI really isn't probably helping you out too much there. But the thing I think is interesting is there, it's still the top story on search engine land about ad strength. And it was a statement from, I believe it was Ben Cram of Google, where he had said, advertisers need to make the speed. If you leverage PMax generative capabilities, it really does give the advertisers the ability to put the right ads in front of the right users at the right time and can deliver on the promise of what that marketing is. And Barry, you had a good tweet last week where you had said, Google to OpenAI, don't crawl YouTube, and then Google to the rest of the internet, we're going to crawl you to learn our algorithms. So I think it's just like interesting that you have to put this AI generated like warning for your own product data, but that's not there in ads whatsoever.
Does that apply, by the way, to Google's the AI product ad generator they have? Like, is that
I have not seen that rolled out. I don't have that at the moment, but you know, with Performance Max, it will, like, we have a client that sells cards of a certain type. And it'll go through and say, like, here's automotive text. And it's like, no, it's cards, like with a D, not auto, not that. And then when that goes live, there's no, you know, message of it being AI.
Yeah, we're in this weird space now where everybody loves AI and everybody hates AI, and everybody's figuring out what the policies should be and shouldn't be. So you have merchant centers saying, that's like the first thing to say, like, label your use of AI, which I think they announced several months ago, and now they're doubling down on it. But other products in Google are like saying, we don't care. Google search is like, write your content with AI. We love AI as long as it's good content. So we're in this weird space, and I think we'll get more clarity soon on that. Thanks, Finn, for doing that. I'm going to talk about site commands and how that's not going away, because it's been around forever.
Thank goodness.
I mean, I wish people would just use it for Reddit instead of Google just showing Reddit, but Google's Sandy Sullivan said that we aren't closing the site search command, even though there were some bugs with it recently. So you don't have to worry about that going away, but it's kind of like, by default, the site command just shows site command reddit.com/whatever query you have, but it is what it is. And then we'll move on to Crystal. Crystal, you want to talk about Not Found?
Yeah, so this was a discussion on Reddit, since SEO is all Reddit these days. So this is a discussion on Reddit from John Mueller, and he was talking about the difference between 404 and 410 errors. And basically, like, the core difference from the code is that 404 is not found, and 410 says, so 404 is like temporarily gone officially, and then 410 is supposed to mean like it's permanently gone, like forever and never again. And basically John Mueller saying that they're pretty much the same thing. And in practice, they're pretty much the same thing. I mean, like, if your car, although I guess, like, if your car was gone temporarily, that's different from if somebody, like, just took your car, I guess, like in real life.
It's like a valet.
Right. Okay.
Or your brother borrowing without telling you and then going back up an hour later.
Maybe it's more like a bus. If the bus is not there when you need the bus to be there, but it will be there in a half an hour, but actually you needed that bus a half an hour ago, then that's different. Maybe it's more like that. But basically he's saying it's essentially the same thing. And this is, I think it's great to see just like some classic John Mueller interaction, just letting people know what's going on there. And I think that, you know, it's worth people thinking about, and it's worth people making sure that they understand how to use their 400 you know, server responses.
Yeah, I mean, John's been getting into this thing where he's like now saying things matter less. Back in the old days, and I have all his old day comments, like he used to say the 410s were faster. If you wanted to remove pages, right, it would be result faster. They were more permanent. They were more immediate, like 410s were immediate and 404s were 24 hours later type of stuff. Even just recently, John Mueller said, maybe we'll add some 404 versus 410 reporting in Search Console so you can see the difference. But yet he's saying it doesn't matter. So yeah, it doesn't matter when you're looking at like a 24-hour difference. Ultimately, the page will be gone within a day or so. But right, yes, it could be a little bit faster maybe, or maybe not.
Yeah. Right. There's some content where it's like quite important to think about, like for instance on recruitment or sales stuff, like if you're buying a car and if the car is not there, like it's very important for you to know like that car is no longer available and you should not make your way down to the dealer to go buy that car. So like if it's completely gone, that's really useful and Google needs to not show that on the SERP. Similarly, like if a job is no longer listed because that job has been filled, that also needs to be updated. So it's useful to have it. I think maybe in bulk, it might make a big difference. Like, you know, if somebody has something that's like temporarily out of stock versus something that is permanently out of stock, that might make a difference maybe.
Right, for sure, definitely. And talking about things that are not there, Morty, you're here, but you were reading something that's not there.
I bet you wish I wasn't, right? So Washington Post, there was a leak that they've lost around 60% of their traffic since 2020. Glenn Gabe commented and reported on this on X, which I found through the SE Roundtable recap, by the way. And Glenn wrote, well, the paywall clearly isn't helping. I find this whole thing very, very interesting from an ecosystem point of view. Little plug for the SERPs Up podcast. We're covering this and did some research on this in an upcoming episode. Around, if you remember, there was a whole Rolling Stone controversy of them writing product review content. You know, they're not reviewing Bob Dylan albums anymore. They're reviewing refrigerators. And it's because the numbers justify it on their part. They've lost a tremendous amount of their actual print circulation, and folks are not signing up in droves for their digital publications. So they need to find a way to survive. As opposed to the New York Times, rather, which obviously their print circulation has decreased as we've gone digital, but they've done a great job increasing revenue through their digital subscriptions. And these publishers are finding ways or having a hard time surviving. And it's interesting, though, that the New York Times organic traffic, just looking at it from SEMrush, was shooting up at the same time. So I think a lot of this has to do with brand building. I've talked to the New York Times team at one point about this, and they said the reason and the way they've gotten the digital subscriptions up is because they did a lot of heavy brand building around why you need to pay for news content and shouldn't rely on free content. So it's a weird intersection where branding and I think search kind of collide in a weird way.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Welcome, Finn. Thank you, Crystal and Morty, for doing this. Definitely check out the Serps Up podcast and the Marketing O'Clock, right? Podcast.
But first, check out the Serps Up podcast.
No. Yeah, do that first.
I love both podcasts.
Never check.
We sponsored the other podcast. Listen to both.
Awesome. All right, I know you guys got to go, but thank you so much. And hopefully you guys will like this new version. We're going to start with the headlines and then end with more detailed stuff. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.